This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk. Welcome to episode number 80 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
John, Star Wars tickets go on sale today.
They do. You are correct.
They won't freaking tell you what time.
I'm guessing around noontime, because that's probably when they're going to drop the trailer.
They said no, the trailer's not dropping until Monday Night Football. They won't tell you a specific time, but what I just read is tickets will go on sale after the trailer drops. And they won't tell you, and I'm assuming this is a ploy to get ratings for Monday Night Football, which is on ESPN, which is owned by Disney. Star Wars is owned by Disney. So I feel like this is a ploy for Monday Night Football. So I bet you they won't even drop the trailer until halftime.
At least.
To make you sit through the first half wondering when it's going to be on.
I'm not sitting through the first half unless my coworkers have it on.
Oh, no, they will. Yeah, football's big at work, John.
I know. That's why I said it that way, because everybody has informed me many times that I better like football, or I better at least like watching football.
Yeah. Well, it's better than Fox News.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Because I can't stand that freaking channel. So anyhow, I want to make sure I get tickets, obviously for us, mm-hmm. my son, mm-hmm. Rude, mm-hmm. wants to go. So, glad I'm off tonight so I can sit around and wait. And I don't have ESPN, so I'll just have to keep checking.
That's kind of fun. You know that there'll be things on the internet, though, that'll be like, oh, tickets are going to go on sale at this time. You know, people will figure it out.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, it was funny. For episode 7, I remember I got my tickets. There's only, like, the tickets went on sale, and then, like, it locked up, and I'd never experienced that before buying movie tickets where I couldn't get in to buy my tickets. And then once I did, and I went in, I actually got the last two seats in the theater for the first screening on the Thursday preview. But then with Rogue One, that wasn't the case at all. And so I'm curious, like Rogue One, it's like I got right in. I didn't have to worry about it. There were still tickets. It's like there definitely wasn't as big of a push for Rogue One and for my ticket purchasing experience than there was for The Force Awakens. So I'm curious if it's going to be – how it's going to be for Episode 8.
Right.
Are we going to get a big push or not? And then, of course, like last time, Thursday night show tickets didn't go on sale initially at the Regal – locally, but a few days later they did, so I had to swap my tickets out. So, and that seems to be the same thing this time. There's no Thursday night listing for Augusta, but there is for Brunswick. And I don't want to go to Brunswick.
No. I mean, it's not a bad theater, but it is smaller seats, and it's quite a drive. And
yeah, and, you know, you're like, I remember when Regal first went to the reserved seating recliners, I'm like, well, this is stupid. You know, like, I got to buy tickets. Pick my seat, you know, it felt weird. I thought it was dumb. And then, of course, you know, first big movie, and it's like, oh, I don't have to go stand in line for 3 hours to make sure I get a good seat. This is great. So, anyhow. So, John.
Yes, Michael.
The burning question that everyone wants to know who's tuning in is, what did you watch this week?
Oh, way too much stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah, I looked at my list, and I'm like, God, I've got so much stuff on here. I mean, I watched regular shows. I watched returning shows. I watched some new shows. Some that I was like, oh, this is good. Some that I was like, I'm never going to watch this again.
Yep.
I wanted to plug something real quick here. I downloaded and installed an app on my phone that I think is really helpful for people like us. It's called TV Time. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
You know, I saw that plug somewhere, and a couple of the reviews I read, someone was like, it's a glorified TV guide.
Well, it kind of is, except for the fact that, like, if you say, hey, I watch this show, like, for instance, I put in that I watch Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency. And then on my list of upcoming shows, it was like, hey, don't forget, it's coming up this Saturday. And I'm like, holy crap, I would have forgotten. So for that kind of stuff, it's helpful. You know, it tells you – it gives you day countdowns. So it'll be like, oh, Stand Against Evil has a new episode in 36 days. You're like, okay, well, that's
helpful. Is there ads?
There might be. I have not spent that much time in it. I plugged in all my stuff and then just walked away. The only thing that I have found annoying so far that I have to turn off is that it will give you notifications of everything. So, like, last night I had, like, 30 notifications. Hey, there's a new episode of Family Guy. Hey, there's a new episode of Simpsons. Hey, and I don't need that. You know, I just basically want to have a list that tells me, hey, Mr. Robot's coming back on Wednesday. You know, hey, this is coming up. And once you've got it programmed into your DVR, it doesn't really matter as much. But if you switch over your DVR, you know, for whatever reason, it can be helpful.
Or if you don't have a DVR.
Right. Yes. If you're a cord cutter and, you know, you're like, oh, I want to make sure that I don't miss out on the shows that are returning, then it can be helpful for that as well.
You know, I feel like I got ahead of the trend on this one.
You know, ahead of what trend?
The cord cutting trend.
Ah.
Yeah. Seems like lately more and more people are switching over. Getting rid of cable, getting rid of Dish, going with, you know, online TV viewing. So, but anywho, so I'll have to check out that TV Time app. That might be helpful because I do sit there sometimes and I think to myself, did I miss a show this week? And it's not for a lack of enjoying a show, but it's – so there's some shows that I'm just like not – as excited about, and so I can't remember if there's a new episode or not.
Well, also, you and I have had conversations where I'm like, you know, oh, hey, did you watch The Good Place? Oh, wait, that's back? Oh, I guess I'll be watching that.
Yeah, and it's funny, Rude the other day, we were talking about something, and he pulled out this, you know,
whoa, this is a family friendly show.
Paper.
Oh, okay.
Sir. He pulled out, you know, two, like, 8.5 by 11 pieces of paper, and they were front and back, and it's all typed up, and it's a list of his shows and what time and day they're on.
Yeah, who needs that when you get an app?
Apparently he does, I guess. I just thought it was hilarious. Anywho, and he has a DVR, you know? He's got the every channel cable. So I too watched a couple of returning shows that haven't been back yet, and I watched I guess just one new show.
Okay.
And I got a couple trailers, a little bit of news.
Yeah, I've got a few of those as well.
Yeah. So I guess we should probably just jump right into it. Well, in no particular order, I did not watch This Is Us. I'm just going to put that out that race straight away. So if you want to drop a couple notes about it, I can take my headphones off.
No, we can wait till next week.
Perfect. My wife and I just didn't get a chance because of my work schedule and her going away for the weekend. So The Good Place. It's – okay, episode 4. And unlike the first 3 episodes, this essentially took place like – in one room. It was one discussion. So it was kind of a really big change of pace where there was so much going on in the first two and then a tremendous amount of story covered in the third one. And the fourth one is just them deciding if they're going to work together at all. And I thought it worked well. I thought it worked really well. And I enjoyed the episode. And I love Janet. Well.
Yes. Janet's awesome.
Yeah. I like how Janet now is like, was I also reset 802 times? Yes. Every time a Janet unit is reset, they become more like socially aware or something. She goes, I must be the most advanced Janet unit ever. And then she realizes that everyone there, like, so Janet it comes from the good place.
Right.
He stole her from the good place. And her only job is to make sure humans are happy. And now she realizes that there's only 4 humans there, so she'll do whatever they want.
Yeah. Must make life a little easier for
her. And then the middle place is a real place. I like how they – because remember we talked about that last week, like why does this exist? Is this a real place? Is this part of Michael's, you know, plan? But no, the middle place is a real place.
Yep.
and he can't go there. So that was kind of interesting. But yeah, I also like the fact they call themselves Team Cockroach, because Michael's just like, you guys are cockroaches to me, or dung beetles, or whatever small human excrement bugs or whatever. I thought it was great.
Yep, it was a good name for their team.
Yeah, but they're apparently, after some much deliberation, they're going to work together. However, Michael has to join Chidi's ethics class with them, because Michael's hoping by doing something right with these four, he'll get to go to the good place too.
Right.
So,
which it'll be interesting is an interesting to see. Twist as well.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where this season goes now. We got four episodes of setup to, you know, get us through to where the rest of the show's going. And I thought they were done well.
Absolutely. I like this show. I'm so glad that I stuck with it, and I'm glad that it's developed the way that it has.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
It's fun for a little half-hour show.
Yeah. Speaking of another fun little half-hour show, Superstore, it's just tremendous. Like, this season, it's the third season, it has really come into, like, its own. I don't know. I loved this episode. I thought it was great because you know, the whole thing is based around them mourning the loss of Brett.
Yeah, and even the episode's title is Brett's Dead.
Yeah. Well, I think it was like Brett's Dead / Brett's Alive or something like that. I don't know. But I loved the whole episode. And my favorite line in the entire episode is when you know, Glenn's trying to, like, have faith and sometimes doesn't understand titles. He goes, like, I went and saw the movie Saw, and it is not about carpentry at all. I threw up in my lap. I mean, like, I just love that line.
Dina, it turns out, is having some aftershock effects from the tornado. She's now, like, panicking about everything.
She's basically shell shock.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. PTSDs. And I love the little shrine to Brett that was in the store, which was basically just an end table with his picture on it and a couple of candles. And, like, at one point you see the woman walk by and just, like, set a cup down because she's done drinking. So she just, like, sets her soda cup down and walks away. And then that other woman walks up and, like, hangs some panties on his picture and touches it gingerly. Like, oh.
Yeah, and then I think someone else, like, grabs one of the candles to buy it or something. Like, I like how they – I love those little cuts they do, where the look and the feel of the show is completely different, and it's just like a customer being a butt or just some inappropriateness that is probably related to what actually happens in one of those box stores.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I think it's great. I like it a lot.
I do too.
So, fun show. Good episode. And I love that Brett showed up at the end because he was alive.
Yeah, just like walks in.
Yeah, and apparently what happened was is that, you know, no one called the right phone number to let him know to come back to work.
Which is very believable.
Yeah.
You could see that happening easily.
Oh, and also Jonah basically is trying to find out how Garrett became paralyzed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Garrett, being Garrett, is not going to open up at all. And not even like, you know, oh, I'm not telling you. He just like, he makes it very awkward every time Jonah starts to talk about it.
It's almost kind of like in The Dark Knight, when every time the Joker tells the story of how he got his scars, it's something different. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Another great moment in this show is when Mateo and Cheyenne pretend to be all upset because Brett's dead, which that happens in real life, and it infuriates me when people are like that, all dramatic about someone who they didn't really care about, they're dead because, you know, they can get attention or go home early or whatever it is like that.
Uh-huh.
And it backfires on them because Glenn's like thinks sincerely they're upset and then wants them to help him write a eulogy.
Mm-hmm.
And they come up with all this just extremely strange things.
Right, that he has done in his life, quote unquote.
Right. And it's just completely made up. And then when Glenn's alive and then like they have to Brett's alive and then they in front of Glenn have to like, oh, so glad to see you and talk to him and this like that and everything. And I don't know. It's just all awkward. And I like it. They get their cup up and from it. So, yeah. What you got?
Well, sticking with the half hour comedy type things, second episode of Me, Myself, and I.
Okay.
Not bad. They kind of rolled it back a little bit. Did you watch it?
No, I haven't watched any of that show yet.
Okay. They kind of rolled it back a little bit. Like, at the end of the first episode, his older self gets the girl and, like, embraces her and gives her a kiss. And it's like, oh. But then in this one, they do the standard thing where she's like, oh, I have a boyfriend. And, whoa, what? Well, and so then, of course, you know, he tries to convince her not to be with the guy, and it backfires. And you're like, you're reminded that it is a comedy of sorts. You know, it's still touching, but it's a comedy. A lot of it focuses around his younger self trying to be popular at school, or trying to figure out why it's important to be popular. Because his new stepbrother is like, you know, you got to be popular. Don't sit at that table. That's the loser table. You should sit on the floor rather than sit at the loser table. And then his stepbrother pays the popular kid $10 so that, you know, the Bobby Moynihan's character can go sit up there with them and be popular for a week. And when he finds that out, he's like, nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go sit with the losers, which you knew was coming all along anyway. It's still a good show. It's still cute.
Well, like Tom Petty said, even the losers get lucky sometime.
Okay. Yeah. We'll go with that one.
Anyhow.
But yeah, it's still a good show. I enjoy it.
Well, keeping with the half hour theme.
Yep.
The Middle came back this week.
Oh.
And I believe this is their last season.
Okay.
And at the end of the previous season, Axel had gone off to Europe to go backpacking for 3 weeks or 3 months or 2 months or whatever it was. And in this episode, it was, you know, end of the summer now, school's out. Yeah, the last season ended like with school getting out, and this episode ended with school starts next week type of thing. So, you know, Axel comes back and he is a douchebag, basically. He's one of those like, oh, I'm so, you know,
worldly.
Yeah, I'm so worldly, and this is what I did in Italy, and, you know, you Americans just stress out so much and work your lives away for nothing. You need to learn to sit down and relax. And he just basically is a massive douchebag that has a bun and is lazy and does nothing. A man bun. And then Sue, being Sue, she worked her ass off all summer long to save money. And now that there's 2 days left before she has to go back to school, she tries to complete a list of everything that she got missed out on this summer and tries to cram it all into 2 days. And, of course, you know, that doesn't work for her.
Right.
And Brick wants to break up with his girlfriend and other things. It was funny. It's a good show. I'm very surprised it's lasted this long because there's nothing outstanding about it. It's just a fun show. And,
I stuck with it for, like, the first 5 seasons or so.
Yeah. It was good. I honestly didn't even watch it for one entire season, and then I started watching it again, and I have yet to go back to watch that other season. So, like, I missed a season of this. I can't even remember which one it was.
Nice.
But I started watching because it was like, eh, and then I started watching it again. Maybe I missed season 6, and then I've watched 7 and 8 now. So, I don't know. It was fun. It was fun.
Cool.
Do you want to continue on this half-hour comedy run?
Might as well.
So the I got You're the Worst.
Yeah.
And shoulder shrug.
It felt to me more like a return to the earlier seasons. You know, the characters were a bit more like them, you know, like Lindsay discovering that she doesn't, you know, get along with people at work, and so I'm going to be myself and be a completely inappropriate, douchey bad girl.
It was too over. Like,
it was a little over the top. Yeah.
This season, okay. So for me, the characters in the first few seasons were like, all right, it's a TV show, so they're gonna be like they turned the characters up a little bit, but it was believable. Like,
yes,
we've talked about that. Like,
yep.
You know, Hector's social anxiety issues and PTSDs was believable. Jimmy being a pompous douchebag was believable.
Mm-hmm.
Gretchen, you know, being who she was, full of all the personal she has, plus that severe depression, it was believable. And, you know, Lindsay being a selfish, self-absorbed person was believable, but turned up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
This season, They crank them all up so high.
They really did, and I still don't know what happened with Edgar. Why is it
not that, Hector Edgar, sorry. Yeah, Edgar.
Between two episodes, he goes from being, like, a confident, you know, coming into his own, but he still wasn't, like, overly confident, to being a complete douche. And even in this episode, he was acting douchey.
Yeah, I don't like Hector in this, Edgar, I mean, and I don't want to call him Hector, but I don't like Edgar in this season so far, because I thought he was a likable, you know, root for the underdog or root for the little guy type character. Now he's just, well, who cares? Jimmy is the one that's been dialed back the most of all of them.
Yeah.
He basically is still himself. Gretchen is just – I don't like it at all. It's just – it's not – I don't know. It's gone from being like, all right, this is pretty realistic to, you know, with a couple things we got to let go to. It's too much to let go.
Yeah.
And people don't act this way. And Lindsay just – there's no way someone would act that way all the time, the way Lindsay's acting. Like, it's just –
You would really hope not, no.
I would hope not, yeah. I mean, I don't personally know anyone that way, and I've interacted with a lot of people over the years.
You've interacted with a lot of people in Maine.
Yes, I have.
You've not interacted with a lot of people in, like, New York or L.A.
Right.
Or,
no, you're right. But I'm just saying, like, I'm not really enjoying the show this season so far.
Yeah, I'm definitely enjoying this the least out of all the seasons. I'm still watching it. It's not as much of a, oh, I can't wait for it to come on as it was in the past. The whole Gretchen being like, nobody's ever fought for me.
You oh God, that pissed me
met
off.
This guy. I mean, and I don't mean like just met this guy as in like 2 days ago, but he's been a booty call for less than a week.
And the only thing that was exciting about it was that she thought he was married, and when they had sex at his house and what she thought was their bed together, that turned her on. And then as soon as she found out that wasn't married and he's got a kid, yeah.
Now see, Gretchen being Gretchen, she should have run for the hills at that point. She should have been like, nope, he's got a kid, I am out of here. Completely. Yeah. You know, Lindsay's the only one who, like, had the little goo-goo eyes over the baby. Gretchen is not a kid person, and she should have been like, nope, I'm gone. But instead, she sits out there and smokes a whole pack of cigarettes and is like, I'm going to wait for someone to fight for me. And then he's like, Gretchen, don't leave. And she goes, oh, you fought for me.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
No, I didn't like that at all. I what is wrong with this picture? Everything. You know, this is not the character that we've grown to know.
Right.
So, yeah, I didn't agree with that at all.
But we also did see in this episode that Jimmy still has feelings and emotions for Gretchen.
Yeah. So. And we also got to see Paul for the first time.
Oh, yeah. And again, there's a guy I don't like. Like, again, Paul went from being that underdog slug pushover, like, oh, I don't understand, you know, like almost believable, but not. And then when he basically, you know, stood his ground to Lindsay and was giving her comeuppance, it was like, yeah. And now his character is saying things like to the waitress, can I get a drink? No, I'm not going to rape you. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. They decided to make him like the poster boy for mansplaining.
Yeah.
And he even said it, what, like men's rights or something? He's like, oh, there's not enough people fighting for men's rights, so I've got to be out here and, like, defending my male brothers. And
It's
complete departure. And for them to, like, he hasn't been around all season, suddenly he comes in and this is the character that we get? The hell is wrong with this?
Yeah, I don't know. Apparently we have a lot of issues with the characters this season.
Yeah.
In the show.
And Jimmy, in typical Jimmy fashion, you know, Edgar's trying to bond with him, trying to have a, you know, heartfelt bro moment. And Jimmy's basically like, piss off, you pussy. And Edgar leaves. And then he has the bond, like 2 seconds later, has the bonding moment with the two jackasses. And he's like, oh, I guess he was right. It is a good thing. Too bad he didn't stick around.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's Jimmy from the first season.
Yep, that is. Ah, hell. Excuse me.
Did you watch Big Bang this week?
I did watch Big Bang Theory this week. Wow, that was what it was.
Yep. I guess at this point, they basically know that no matter what they put on TV, their contract, it's kind of like a state worker. I'm protected by the union. I'm here. Yeah. I can do whatever I want. And some people take advantage of that and some don't. You know, in this case, they're like, hey, we've got our contracts. We know we're on the air for at least 3 more years and we're going to be making millions of dollars. We can do whatever we want.
Well, this story just, it wasn't, yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't that big of a fan. Then again, last season, I wasn't a fan of much of anything.
Yeah, I wasn't, I don't know. I watched it, and then I tried to go watch Young Sheldon, and there was no new episode. And then eventually, after a couple days, I went, why isn't there a new episode? I realized, oh, it doesn't come back until November.
Yes.
And that, I was like, that was kind of upsetting.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a bit of a bummer.
Yeah. But Howard goes on NPR and basically says, or admits Leonard. That physics research, sorry, Leonard, yeah, admits that physics research might be at a dead end.
Yeah.
And rightfully so, the university is furious, and they want him to make a retraction, and for whatever reason, he puts his foot down and doesn't want to.
Yeah.
And Sheldon actually becomes depressed because he thinks Leonard, you know, hey, geez, he could be right. And so Howard and Raj come over, Penny calls them over to try and help them, like, get out of their funk, and then they all just end up being depressed, so then they all get drunk with Penny, drinking blue-dyed vodka.
Romulan ale.
And they end up going to the grave of Richard
Feynman.
There we go, Feynman. Yeah, I don't know. And then Leonard sends a drunk email to the human resources. That part was actually quite funny.
Yes.
The last like minute where he comes in and she like reads him the email. That was pretty funny.
P.S. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty good. I did. Oh, yes, you did. So,
but again, this show seems to fall back on certain things when it paints itself into a corner or when it has nothing better to do.
Yeah.
And one of the staples with this show is people getting drunk. You know, oh, well, we couldn't find anything for them to do. Let's get them drunk. Oh, they're feeling a little depressed. Let's get them drunk.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't always have to revolve around people getting drunk. And it's not always that funny. Oh, Sheldon puking off screen. Don't care.
That's hilarious, sir.
Yeah.
Don't you know that?
No, I guess I don't.
So, well, you have any other half-hour situational comedies you want to speak of while we're on the roll?
Yes, and it's going to be a little divisive, I think.
Okay, go.
Because I watched Ghosted.
Oh, I did watch that as well, the first episode.
Now, apparently I'm in the minority here because I didn't dislike it, but I just didn't, like, I didn't look at it and go, wow, this is great. I can't wait to watch more. But it seems the more people I talk to, the more people are like, wow, I really enjoyed that show. Wow, that was really fun. Wow, it was really good. What were your thoughts?
Okay, so I like Adam Scott.
Yes.
And I like, I can't think of his name.
Craig Robinson.
I like Craig Robinson. I don't know. I didn't dislike it. You know, it didn't turn me off from the series. I really saw the angle like coming. Basically, Adam Scott's wife. What was his job? He was a professor.
He was a professor. And
his wife gets abducted.
Yep.
By aliens. He reports it, and now he's been disgraced, and no one believes him. And he
They called him a crazy person. They fired him, and he works at a bookstore.
Right, he works at a bookstore where he continues to, you know, talk about his wife being abducted.
Yeah.
And then Craig Robinson? No. Yeah, his character is a disgraced former LAPD homicide detective or whatever police agency he was. Yeah, the greatest LAPD detective. Yeah. And he got his partner killed, and so he's all sad. Now he's a security guard. They
I didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought you said nope. They get lumped together by the underground agency, which is basically like their version of the X-Files that's not affiliated with the FBI.
Right.
And it's a comedy, full comedy, to go investigate this happening because someone disappeared and they want him because he's the greatest detective. And,
well, one of their agents disappeared and his last message to them was, find these two guys. They can help.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. I didn't remember that part.
Yeah. And then he gets blasted.
Yes. So, I don't know. I didn't hate it. I can understand your point of view, though. Yeah. And it didn't thrill you? Because it didn't thrill me, but I'll watch the second episode at least.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't written it off, but it just, it wasn't, I was excited about it, and then I watched it, and I was like, meh, eh. You know, some of it was just very overused. The comedy seemed a little over the top, a little slapsticky. Again, we've got one of these things where the, whatever it is, the unit underground or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they've got the tech girl there who is impossibly hot.
Yep.
And you're like, why? Why is this the case? You know, why do we have this impossibly hot girl? And then the nerdy guy with her and, oh, I don't know, whatever.
Oh, no, it's super stereotypical. I mean, like, it's very cliche-filled and stereotypical when it comes to casting and the characters and, and you know.
Although it's really hard to believe Craig Robinson was the greatest detective that they had.
The first episode, of course, is a setup to them working there. Like, neither one of them worked there, and now by the end of the episode, they do. And now going forward, their adventures will be, you know, being official team members and investigating this is called Ghosted, but they investigate every supernatural, paranormal things.
Yeah. Yeah. A disgraced professor and a disgraced detective.
But it's not done on a official – it's an official way, like the X-Files was official, but it's unofficial, kind of like how Supernatural is unofficial, but it's definitely not a drama thriller. It's a – comedy.
I think part of the problem is that it's only half an hour. So, you know, you're getting 21 minutes worth of story. And something of this type of thing, when you add in like an X-Files kind of thing or a Supernatural kind of thing, you need a little bit of time to explain things and spread things out. And I think that that's something that kind of hurts it.
Yeah. I mean, for a first-time setup story, this went well, I guess, but you're right. I mean, going forward, when you're trying to investigate these things, it feels like maybe 20 minutes isn't enough to get a full scope of it. But we'll see, I guess.
We will. Yep, I'm going to keep up with it.
So, is that it for you in the half-hour shows?
Oh, I believe that it is, yes.
Okay, let's get on to our hour shows, our hour-long.
And that's H-O-U-R, not O-U-R.
Right, right. Hour, time-wise. I just want to get this out of the way.
Uh-oh.
This is my three-word note on Gotham. Groan, groan, groan.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. I think I had one more groan in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't care.
Yeah.
Like,
they introduced one character to pretty much kill her off by the end of the episode.
Yeah. Yeah, they introduced the way the Riddler was able to escape from Oswald, the Penguin, and
because he has a fan.
Out. And because she is a very devoted fan who took took 5 months of planning and preparation to win, and then in the end she was killed.
Yeah, and don't forget she's a fan from back in the days of grade school because she knew.
Yes, they're friends in grade school. Yeah.
And she's his number one fan and decided to trigger his brain by telling him riddles. But there was something wrong with his brain, but then there wasn't.
There's something, exactly. I don't know. So, I don't know. I don't. And then Selena, who's supposed to be 15 or 16, just wears tight leather the entire time. And I understand in real life the girl's 18, but
It's problematic.
We find out that Barbara is working for Ra's al Ghul. That's who her benefactor is, and that's why she's still alive, because she got put into the waters there.
Yeah.
And
he wants her to get a dagger because, you know, he doesn't have an army of assassins or whatever that could break into the docks and get the dagger for him.
Right, because he does. But, Bruce ends up with it because they end up selling it at auction, and Bruce becomes, in this episode, in the movies, Bruce Wayne is always portrayed as being the party boy billionaire who's douchebag. And now in this episode, Bruce plays the bratty douchebag billionaire kid.
Oh, can I say it? He becomes Douche Wayne. Yeah.
Well played. And then Jim goes down to try to get Falcone to come up to take over being the head crime lord in Gotham because he was the lesser of two evils. But he's dying, but his daughter decides she's going to come do it.
Conveniently.
Conveniently dying, and
apparently the heir there prolongs his life a little bit. Which, do you figure that we're going to get, at some point, he's going to figure out what Barbara did and try to get into the waters that Ra's al Ghul has?
Oh, I don't know. This show seems stupid enough that it probably would, yeah. Yeah. So, that's a possibility.
Okay.
But yeah, so Barbara, she, so Falcone's daughter, she's in Gotham now, and she's gonna go opposite the Penguin.
Yep. Because Gotham was severely lacking in females who were wearing very open-fronted shirts.
Yes, we didn't have enough. And now we have several.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, I just, yeah.
They said, oh, you want crazy, intelligent women? We'll bring one of those on the show, and then we'll kill her.
Yep.
In the same episode.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, here's a new character. Now she's dead.
Yep. But here's another new character who is playing the role of the sex pot, and she gets to live.
And Gordon's new love interest, most likely.
Of course.
Don't forget that.
Yep.
So, anyways, I'm done. I'm good with that. Okay, so if you have anything you want to add, feel free.
Nope.
Real quick on Law & Order SVU, I watched this episode, and they didn't focus. They kind of focusing still on Olivia being investigated, but it turns out it's probably ramped up from a detective that was in the first season of the show, which is kind of neat. They're revisiting him, bringing him back. They brought him back a couple other times, and so that seems like that's just going to be a throwaway. It was just like, oh my god, the way they end the first episode to, oh, it's just a throwaway story, basically. And they got back to the story of the week, crime of the week type format.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the show's just plugging away. I'm curious, excuse me, I think we're on season 19 right now. So I'm curious if it's going to be like – I feel like with Law & Order, they were like, we want to give it 20 seasons and it's done, because after 20 seasons, it was done. I mean, they even canceled it before – like they didn't get a chance to film a final episode of the original Law & Order series. They just said, well, it's had 20 years. It's done. And that was it.
Yeah.
And instead, they did Law & Order Los Angeles, which sucked. So I'm curious if we're just going to get, all right, let's do one more season of this show. We'll get 20 years out of the show, and then it's done. Because that's kind of how I feel like it is. They're kind of just wading through to get to that 20 years. I will say this, though. In television in this day and age, the fact that you have that, you know, Mariska Hargitay, the actress, has been able to play the same character on one show for now the 19th season is kind of impressive. You know, for a live-action show. So,
yeah, that is quite the record she's got going.
You know, that is kind of impressive. It doesn't happen like it used to, because we don't have shows that last this long. But then again, like Supernatural somehow is up into the and like Big Bang Theory's on season 11, right? I mean, that seems crazy.
That when you start doing the whole. Overall, like looking at how many years something's been on, you know, or I've been watching this for so long, it can be a little bit shocking.
Yeah. Criminal Minds is like in season 15 now or something like that. I mean, like, yeah, I've just – it's a long time.
It is.
It's a long time.
Sure is.
But, yeah, so what you got?
Lucifer came back this week.
Oh, I'm going to hit mute.
So that you don't curse?
No, so you don't hear me typing away on my keyboard while I look at something else.
Ah, I see. I'm going to have to do that from now on when you start talking about stuff that I don't want to hear.
I thought you did.
No.
Oh.
No, I always pay close attention to you.
I listen. Go ahead, talk about Lucifer.
Anyway, so Lucifer came back, and the twist this time, as we all saw in the end of the last season, is that he's got his wings back, and he doesn't have his devil face. So he's apparently full-blown angel now, which is kind of weird. And so he spends the whole episode just trying to figure out who did this to him, you know, tracking down who kidnapped him. And the name that's floating around out there is the Sinner Man. Somebody named the Sinner Man has done this. We got to see Tom Welling come on as the new kind of like head detective of the organization, and he already doesn't seem to like Chloe or Detective Douche at all. And basically, Lucifer, he seems to like Lucifer to an extent, but it's more like, you know, he just wants him to get stuff done. But yeah, he kind of treats Chloe and Detective Douche like assholes, which is kind of funny. Otherwise, that's about it, you know. Maze wasn't in this at all. Had some drama. Yeah, it was better than some of the other seasons that we've had. So
it seems to me that the show has gotten less and less enjoyable for me, type of thing.
Oh yeah, I definitely, like, I was watching it and I'm like, still not like really excited about it. Still kind of a background show more than anything, but you know, I'll stick it out for now. Having this whole DVR that can record six things at a time, so I no longer have conflict, yeah, takes out that excuse.
I don't know. Like, what I really enjoyed about the show when it was first on, all those elements are completely gone.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. I can see that for sure.
Yeah. Anyhow.
So that's cool. That.
I watched American Horror Story Cult.
Yep.
And I had given it some pretty high praise last week with episode 4, how they really took those first three episodes and brought them together. And they really continued with episode 5, telling that story, getting us caught up and seeing where the actual cult play comes in. And they're getting darker and darker and deeper into that aspect of it. And then you're learning, like, oh, this character's part of them as well. And I don't know. I don't want to give it away too much because, honestly, I really, really, really like it.
Really?
Yeah. Like, this is, I don't,
I knew last week you were like, wow, it really turned a corner. And I was waiting to hear, like, because Roanoke, I remember, did the same thing. It was like the first three episodes or so. And you were like, this is terrible. And then you were like, oh, it turned a corner for me. And then it didn't just peter out. It was like it dropped off a cliff after that. So I was waiting for the drop off a cliff.
Yeah, no, they kept running with this one. And we learned some more about some background of the characters, about how, you know, Winter and Kai became the way they are. I mean, and yeah, we find out that's not just a character. That's that guy's brother. And this is what actually happened to their parents, and on and on and on. And basically, like, really, again, the first three episodes, the storyline is called Cult, and I'm not seeing a cult at all. And we're seeing these clowns, and we don't know if that's how it relates to everything we're seeing. And then the big reveal in episode 4 of where the cult actually falls into play, and this is how it came together, because it's like they're going back in time and telling us a story. You know what I mean? So there's some time jumping, but it's within a few month period. So it's like, hey, we're going to show you this, and now we're going to show you this is how that came about. And it's like, oh. And honestly, it just – yeah. It was really good. Really, really good.
Nice.
So you still have time. There's only 5 episodes. You still have time to catch up. I don't think you will, but you still have time.
I might. I don't know.
I don't know. You know,
I mean, this week, Mr. Robot comes back, Flash comes back, Legends comes back, Arrow comes back, Supergirl comes back.
I mean, that's 5 shows right there.
Yeah. I mean, that's 5 episodes, you know?
Yeah, it's, you know, 5 hours. But I don't know. This is my favorite. I guess I'm going to say this is my favorite season of the last few seasons so far.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a big thing to say.
Yeah. Well, okay. The hotel was decent. The carnival was good, but though, because just some aspects of those were kind of those seasons were just like, eh. But this season so far, I mean, this is a really, really dark story, and I like the direction it's going, and it actually makes me want to watch the next episode as opposed to, well, I guess I got time to check this out. Maybe I'll see a nice gruesome murder, which I realize probably sounds bad to say that out loud, but I'm just.
But I know you, so it makes complete sense.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. I like shock cinema.
Nice.
But, anyways, I really liked it. I only actually have a couple hour shows to talk about. You know what I mean? A few more shows. What you got?
Let's see. Let me look at my list. Bull was on again this week. Great episode. Great show. I can't even just... It's just a thing. I'm selling it. So, I watched Wisdom of the Crowd.
Oh, that's the, that was the one where I, the Jeremy Renner, Jeremy Renner.
Nope.
No, not Jeremy Renner. Jeremy Piven show.
Yep.
Which is basically like, that show we had on Fox that we got one season out of. Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah. It's very similar. You know, I actually liked it.
Yeah.
I actually thought it was pretty good. He, you know, it opens on him as the head of this tech company, and he's selling off the tech company for pennies on the dollar because he wants to go into his own thing of, building this computer and this app that, allows people to do, remember when I was talking about American Vandal and I said that, you know, they were piecing together what happened by like taking all the Instagram videos of the party and, you know, putting together a timeline and saying, okay, well, this person was here at this time and this person was here at this time. It's that kind of thing. You know, it's social media, as a justice platform. The nice thing about this is, though, it wasn't all sunshine and puppy dog farts. Like, it wasn't just everybody coming together and being like, oh, we're going to help. Because, like, at one point, they see that there's a car, and they're like, you know, can we get some help identifying this car? And people, you know, immediately get on there and start doing, like, the YouTube comment sections where they're like, you know, oh, you're an idiot, it's this, oh, you suck, blah, 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 and basically devolving into that. Then when they nail down whose car it is, the guy gets jumped by a mob in the street because they don't even take the time to say, you know, okay, he was involved in a crime or he wasn't. They just automatically say, oh, he must have been involved, and the mob jumps him and puts him in the hospital. So it's also showing that there would be a bad side to this kind of thing. You know, it's not just like, oh, vigilante justice can be good because these people are doing exactly what you would expect them to do and taking the law into their own hands and fucking up the system. But the idea is good, and seeing them trying to solve crimes this way is cool. I like the show. I think it's a good crime drama kind of thing. It's got some parts that are like, meh, but I really do like it. I think it's going to be enjoyable, and I'm looking forward to watching the second episode. I would recommend everybody check out at least the first episode, you know, see what they've got there. It's not as dark and gritty as APB was. Of course, it's also not focused on the police aspect of it as much as it's focused on the more humanizing aspect of it, I guess. And I really enjoyed it. I really did. So I'm giving it a sell.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I'm going to watch it, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I did pick up a show this week and watch the first two episodes of that you gave a sell on last week, and I'm probably going to stick with it, and that's The Good Doctor.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I watched the first two episodes. The David Shore aspect of it helped a lot. Like, yes. It kind of pushed me towards watching it because I did love House. I did enjoy, you know, I did enjoy House immensely. I do like David Shore, so I gave it a go. And the first episode kind of had me groaning a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
A lot of it, but the second episode actually is what pulled me in more. So.
Yes. Yep.
I will say that.
There was a lot of drama in the first episode and a lot of ridiculous drama.
Tremendously so. Like, all right, this kid's got severe autism, but he's high functioning.
Yep.
And there's aspects of autism he doesn't have. There's aspects of autism that he does have. He's a genius. We got in the first episode, there was a lot of backstory told on him.
Yeah.
And
like,
there was
his backstory, basically.
Yeah, and there's a lot of – he's like got to overcome things constantly, and that kind of bothered me a little bit. There were some things that I enjoyed a lot, like how straightforward he is with people. I find it so awesomely refreshing.
I know, right?
Like with the girl doctor there, I can't think of her name, but like I already have liked and disliked her character several times in the show.
Yep.
And basically he's like, the first time we met, you were rude to me.
No, the first, yeah, to be my friend.
The first time you met, you were rude to me. And then, you know, and then the second time you were this way and now you want to be my friend. Which one of, which time were you lying?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, and then like he says to the cause he's an intern doctor. So his internship or whatever, residency or whatever.
Yep.
And then he says to the head of his boss, basically, like, you're very arrogant. Like, he was like, oh, you take what I say at face value? Well, yes, because you're very arrogant and people like that don't feel like they have to lie.
Right.
Just he's like,
do you feel that it serves you well?
Yeah, more than once he's called him arrogant. He just wants to learn. So it's just the way he's straightforward and everything. I actually enjoyed watching him, you know, tackle scut work.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't know. I just enjoyed it. I thought it was good. Of course, we have the very dramatic, like, ending where he proves himself in every episode. And I hope that's not the pattern we get where he has to prove himself to everyone every time.
Yeah. House always had that moment where he suddenly realized what it was and he'd stare at the camera for a minute and then run down and make the miraculous recovery. You know, there's a formula behind Shore's madness. And
yes.
I think that's what you're going to find with this one, unfortunately.
Hopefully it doesn't lose me. Hopefully there's enough story going on there that, you know, having to deal with him having to prove himself every single episode will not drive me crazy. But no, I liked it. I liked the show. Good. I watched the first two episodes back to back, and I liked it. So I'll keep watching that one.
I picked up another show this week that I feel good about. I don't think you're going to like it, and I don't know that it's going to last long.
All right.
It's called Kevin Probably Saves the World.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to watch that.
It's Jason Ritter, which I like him.
I like him.
He's got good chops handed down from his dad or whatever. But the premise behind it is that he's this loser who, you know, his life kind of fell apart. You get little bits and pieces of how his life fell apart, and he tried to kill himself. He was like, you know, I'm just done. And it kind of wrecked his family. So, like, his sister takes him in, and she's very, you know, loving of him, but basically tells him that, you know, that was very selfish. Why did you do that? You know, you've got people that care about you. It's not just about you. And now he has essentially a guardian angel because she explains – It's very thick in the mythology already. She explains to him that in every generation, there are 36 righteous souls on the planet. They're the ones that protect the Earth from basically being destroyed. And right now, there's only one left, and it's him. And so he has to basically rise above and become what he's destined to be so that he can go out there and anoint the 35 other righteous souls. And right there, I'm like, cool idea. People aren't going to buy it. It's going to be a very hard sell for a lot of people to be like, all right, wait a minute. There's 35 of these guys. How long are you planning on making this show? You know, if they had said there's like six others, they'd be like, oh, okay, 35 others. Yeah. You're going to lose some people there. And it's got a lot of religious connotation. It's a feel good show with humor as well. Definitely has the spiritual aspect, you know, things happen for a reason, etc. I like it quite a bit. I don't think that it's your kind of thing. And I think, like, with Downward Dog, it's gonna lose people. I think that it's not gonna last very long because it's too high of a message kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. But I enjoyed it. I'm gonna enjoy it until it gets canceled.
Well, way to be positive. I'm going to enjoy this show until I can't anymore.
That's right. I'm a realist.
The Blacklist.
The Blacklist. I am caught up. I watched both episodes.
Excellent. All right. So what did you think of this season so far then?
Well, I've got a few notes. One, I love the new Red. I love the new focus on Red. The fact that he's much more animated, he's much more outgoing, he's more proactive, he's more of a con man and an aggressor. I like you had said last week, I'm loving seeing James Spader in this
Yep.
He's just, yep. he's having fun with it, and I'm having fun watching him.
It's because he's, it's not that he's lost confidence, is that because he's lost all his money? Now he just, like, doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, exactly.
And now he's gonna, you know, and the way he's manipulated the FBI is a little over the top in these two episodes to get what he wants out of them and what he, you know what I mean?
Yep.
But, again, at the end of the second episode when, you know, the boss, I can't think of his name, because I want to say is Wessler, and it's not Wessler.
No. Wessler is the blonde guy.
Yeah, I know, and he's being blackmailed by the cleaner.
Yep.
Anyways, when the boss sits Red down and basically reads him a riot act and you know, shits all over him, why did you do this? We didn't even get the arrest. You did, you know, we, how am I going to justify all this money and this and that? And Red's like, oh, don't worry, I took care of you.
Yeah.
You know, here's the evidence you need. The Italians are going to have to release him because he doesn't actually have forged artwork. He doesn't actually have this real stolen artwork. It's a copy.
And they're going to be embarrassed, so they're going to have to release him.
Exactly. So they're going to have to release him. Here is the file. Here's all his files and everything he's done wrong. Here's some evidence to things that he stole, you know, showing that he is this burglar type guy. I mean, I thought it was – they established this guy through the whole episode. And I thought, oh, okay, this is, you know, he's going to be like a new guy to Red, or he's going to be like, you know, one of his new allies or whatever it is. And then they just like, all right, he's done. We'll never see him again.
You know? Because it was Rigsby, and you're like, oh, good. Yeah. They're running an act. And no.
But I'm not sure how I feel
about Elizabeth.
Well, see, all right, at the end of episode two, because she's just going along for the ride.
Well, not only that, but she's kind of like goofy about it. You know, she's like, this is cool. This is great. And you're like,
She's just going with the flow a little too much. But then at the end of episode two, I think she kind of sums it up really well with like, you know, I'm accepting this that you're my dad, and it scares me as much as it kind of makes me happy.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, she kind of gives the excuse, well, I'm in Italy. I'm not actually investigating these cases. You know what I mean? I can just go along for the ride. I don't have to be law enforcement Liz in this episode.
Right.
Or in this adventure, this case. Whereas in the first episode, she still was, you know?
Yep.
So, but yeah, it's like she almost was like, I got to experience how you live life, and it scares me that I liked it.
Right.
So I think we'll see, you know, Liz back to normal episode three. I you know what I mean? I feel like they gave us a good enough reason as to why she acted that way in this episode.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm just really enjoying this season.
Yes, I am too. And it's good because it's kind of a departure from last season. Wasn't bad, but it was like, oh, come on, you know, let's.
And they're trying to tie the Blacklist Redemption in there a little bit, you know, he's back finally. You know, he's one that has the suitcase that we all know has the remains of Elizabeth's mother in it.
Well, we all assume. Never specifically said.
Fair enough. That's what we assume. Red obviously wants them back desperately. Mm-hmm. And Tom's trying to find out who's in there. And so, of course, they both come to the conclusion of the same person that they could be told by.
Yep.
And Red gets him and tortures him and then kills him. But before he dies, you know, he reveals some data to Tom. So their paths are crossing, but not really. They don't know it.
Yeah.
The whole moment in episode two where Denby is using kindness to get his response is hilarious.
Yes. It was great to see Denby show up, period.
Yes, yes. And to show like a character. He makes this guy this really fancy dish and everything, and the guy's like, this is really good. And Denby's like, yes, it is. Which wine would you like?
Yeah.
And he actually wines and dines the guy to get with his answers, as opposed to, you know, threatening and torture. So right. I thought that was decent.
It was awesome.
Because I thought the guy just sat there the whole time, like, scared to death.
Right. But then by the end, he even seemed to be enjoying it. You know, he's like, okay, I'll eat. This is really good. Yeah, I'll take the wine. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And you kept waiting for him to, like, you know, hit him with a baseball bat or something.
Nope. Or the guy to be poisoned or something like that. And in the end, no, he just tells him what he wants to know. I don't know. I liked it.
I did too.
It was fun. It was fun. I got a couple other shows to discuss.
One's a new show. Yeah.
One's a new show, and then two other shows that are continuing.
I've got the same, and then I've also got another new show.
Nice,
which,
nice.
Which I want to say this right now. I'm just going to get this one out of the way, okay?
Do it.
Watched Sci-Fi's new show, Ghost Wars.
Okay.
Because I read the discussion. It was talking about a medium in a town. You know, he sees spirits and there's things going on. And I was like, okay, it's sci-fi. You know, they do this kind of stuff well. I was thinking like a, what's the thing that I'm thinking of? The Colorado Kid. All I could think of is Stranger Things.
Haven.
But Haven, thank you. I just kept thinking Stranger Things. So I'm like, okay, this will be cool. Opening scene, you've got Vincent D'Onofrio. I'm like, oh, I'm sold. Vincent D'Onofrio with a ponytail as a preacher giving a speech in a bar about, you know, a guy who died recently. And I'm like, yep, I'm sold. It's got Vincent D'Onofrio. It's got Meatloaf. It's a sci-fi show about a guy who can see ghosts. I'm like, yeah, God, it's dog shit.
Oh, that's
it
awesome.
It is dog shit. Like, I can't find anything redeeming about this. The special effects are terrible. I was talking to my sister about it, and she was like, yeah, it kind of reminds me of, like, Degrassi, but on sci-fi. Mm-hmm. It's cheesy. It's terrible. They give you no information whatsoever. You have to piece everything together. They've got the lamest deaths, like things happen off screen and then you see them and you're like, oh, okay. And it's completely confusing. There's no rhyme or reason to any of it. Like the guy can see ghosts, but he can't do anything, but then he can because his eyes glow white. And like I said, the special effects are terrible. They say that his mother cursed the town. But we don't know why or how or what that's involved. Some of the ghosts look like normal people, so they do the whole, you know, oh, you don't know if he's talking to a ghost or to a person. And then some of the ghosts look like the ones that they would do on Supernatural where it was like, you know, old film skipping. You know, where it was like, eh.
Yep.
And, I was so, like, disappointed. Not just disappointed, but, like, mad that sci-fi would put out something of such low quality. After we just got Blood Drive. And
wow, that is depressing.
So I was very upset with it. So I do not recommend this. I recommend everybody stay away from this show. Stay the hell away from this show.
Oh,
and
okay.
Yeah, don't bother with it.
I will not bother with it then.
So there. Now, I feel better now that I've gotten my PSA out of the way.
I want to talk about Inhumans.
Okay.
I want to talk about the fact I'm so glad it's only 8 episodes. And yeah. I really do hope it's, so far, based on what I've seen, the only 8 episodes we get.
Yeah, I am afraid I have to agree with you there. Yeah. I feel bad because I've been happy with Marvel so far.
Yep.
And I know that you could look back and say that S.H.I.E.L.D. started off rough. And, you know, only those who really stuck with it are now reaping the benefits of Season 4. And how awesome it was. But, damn, this is really kind of depressing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. First off, Anson Mount plays Black Bolt.
Yeah.
And this is a guy who I was just watching on Hell on Wheels and loving constantly.
Yeah.
Because of the... You know, it's just his character, the way he delivers lines. Like, you know, and now I got him and he's a mute. And it's really annoying because it's like, I have this actor who can deliver some pretty amazing dialogue when he's giving, you know what I mean?
Yep.
It'd be like, you know, okay, Justified. I mean, look how, because you watch Justified,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
So, okay, you didn't watch Hell on Wheels, I realize. So, right. You Justified. All right, so, you know, what's his face? I can't think of his name. Raylan Givens on the show, the actor.
Yeah. Timothy Oliphant.
You watch Justified. Amazing lines, amazing delivery on his dialogue. I mean, like, phenomenal. Now put him on a show where he's a fucking mute. And it's just really sad and depressing, you know?
I think that
you don't
that
get
character...
lines where he, you don't get lines where he takes a bullet out of a gun, drops it on a guy, and goes, next one's coming faster. You know what I mean? Like, that is... like. Yeah, just the way he delivered that. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Now Anson Mount was that. He was the same way on Hell on Wheels. Phenomenal. And now we get him on Inhumans, and he can furrow a brow. He can make his eyes go wide and then narrow. and then put a kind of a smirk on his face and tilt his head and be like, you're ridiculous. And then tell people to wait a minute using his fingers. And then I just, yeah, it's not working for me.
I feel like that character is definitely better portrayed in the comics, because in the comics, it is silent anyway. Yeah. So, you know, you could have like 6 or 7 panels in a row of him just staring or making hand gestures, and you'd be like, whoa, this is impactful. It's tougher on a TV show.
Yep.
We have certain expectations.
And, you know, and I'm also not liking how, okay, I realize they lived on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
But they obviously knew what was going on Earth.
Well, they obviously had intimate knowledge of everything, including fashion, showers,
but not how to use a fucking ATM machine.
I said the same thing. I said that right? To Rude last night. He was talking. I'm like, how did she?
I'm the queen of Adelan. Adelan, thank you. I'm the queen of Adelan. I demand you give me money. Like, come on.
Yeah, so she understood money. She understood everything else, but not that, you know.
Black Bolt's in prison because he stole a suit.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have to pay for this. I'm the king of the. I'm the king on the moon. Like, it's just. Yeah.
And I still, to this day, I can't find anybody who can answer the question appropriately of why it is that Karnak couldn't climb down off a mountain.
Yeah.
Why could he see everything happening, but he couldn't climb down off the mountain? I've heard some.
And the thing is, his head injury. No, that happened because of the fall.
Because of the fall that could have been prevented if he had used his powers to strategize ahead of time.
Because in this episode, you know, he's captured by some drug dealers. Some very laid back, not like. Some very like, oh, we put all our money into this grow, but we're going to let this guy live here because, you know. And then don't forget that. Was it Gorgon?
Yep.
He apparently, the surfer dudes he met, they're all former Special Forces guys, I guess, who are very quickly to be like, yeah, dude, we'll take up weapons and shoot and kill people we don't know, just based on your words. Because you've got friggin' horse feet.
That's right. We'll go up in these trees and strap ourselves in with rappelling ropes. And what's his name there? Douchebag from Game of Thrones. Maximus sends down essentially Cyclops.
Yes. Who everyone's afraid of.
Yeah, they're like, he is death. I'm like, he is Cyclops. Like, Cyclops. I was expecting the giant thing that they sent down in the first Thor movie. You know, the one who was like 10 feet tall and could blast an entire town with his face. This guy's like, nope. I look like a reject from a steampunk cosplay contest.
Yeah, and, it's not working for me.
No.
I
think the biggest thing that didn't work for me was when Crystal gets Lockjaw and says, teleport me down, and he teleports her down and then falls asleep, and then conveniently gets hit by a four-wheeler.
Yeah.
And now they're doing that, my dog's been hit by a four-wheeler, and he's doing,
yeah, I'm not liking the writing on this show. I'm not liking – I'm going to watch it because it's only 8 episodes, so I know there's a finite ending.
The worst part is that they have created perfect backdoors because of all the work on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and introducing humans to the world and introducing the concept of them. They could have done a story about that. You know, they could have said that these people are all struggling, and now the kings and queens of the Inhumans are like, let's go down and talk to them. And given them something new, you know, like, we are now going to rally you against the humans, and whoa! You know, they could have had a million different stories that would have been good instead of just this sudden uprising that is the lamest uprising.
And you gotta think that the actors that attach themselves to this show, to these characters, are probably thinking like, dude, this is a Marvel TV show. We need to get in on this somehow.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the Orville.
The Orville.
I love this show.
I do too. And this episode just upped that.
Yeah, I mean, there's something about I feel like, okay, we're watching this show, but it feels like we're not four episodes into this show. We've been watching it for years type of thing. Like,
yep.
It has that type of feel to it, that type of comfort level to it. You sit down in it, you know, it's like, again, we've talked about how it doesn't have the over the top humor, but it has humor in it. But it still has that emotional, like, story. And yep. I'm not even going to say feel good story because they're not always feel good.
No, they're not.
But they really do address, I don't know, it's great. It's great. That's all. I haven't watched any of the Star Trek Discovery yet. Nope. Rude has watched it. He's told me that, you know, he's told me his opinions on it and everything. And I've read other things about it that says it follows more of the J.J. Star Trek universe than it does the other, you know, the established TV universe of Star Trek that we had prior and on and on and on. And I will watch it eventually someday because I do want to check it out.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm loving the Orville.
Absolutely. This was a great episode. You know, they had time travel in it. They had deception. You know, is this person really with us? Are they not? The whole plan that she had going on was just great. I really liked that. This is one of those shows, though, and I think you're going in the same direction. You don't want to talk too much about the intricacies because people should be watching this.
Oh, I agree.
This is a great show. It's not just cool cameos like from Liam Neeson's and Charlize Theron. It's dedicated, like, sci-fi TV.
Yeah, it is. You watch it, like, it's a great – I don't know. It's a great space drama, and you have that constant tension between, you know, ex-wife and, you know, the exes. The captain and his you know, number one, and they're, you know, they used to be married and they're not, and she still has feelings for him. And and so you have that, but it's not – they don't overplay their hand on that. And, you know, the captain is a womanizer like the captain should be, like Captain Kirk style was.
But not a womanizer like Zap Brannigan.
No, exactly. In a completely goofy, like, wow, I can't believe I found myself in this situation.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It just – something about the show, there's something about the characters. I find them all endearing, and I enjoy it. And it's not a spoof. It's not mocking other things. No,
this is his passion project. You know, you could tell.
This really is. This is nothing what I expect it to be. When I heard it was announced, and I watched the trailer, I went, that's amazing. I can't wait to watch this. And I thought, like,
Spaceballs.
I thought it was going to fail. I thought we'd get one season out of it, 13 episodes or whatever it was, because it's going to be Seth MacFarlane-ish, like Ted, like A Million Ways to Die in the West. You know what I mean? And it works for Family Guy because it's a 22-minute animated show, so you could have that unbelievableness of it all.
Yep.
But when you get to live action, you know, it doesn't always work. I mean, he already had one live action show that failed.
Yes, unfortunately.
You know? And Ted obviously was popular enough to get a second movie out of it.
Yep.
But then A Million Ways to Die in the West. I mean, I haven't heard. I've heard people like it who like Super Troopers. That, you know what I mean? It's like a cult following.
Yep.
But this is just like, if you don't have to be a fan of Seth MacFarlane's previous work to watch this.
I got a message this morning from Jer, and of course, you know, he is huge Star Trek.
Oh, dude, big he likes Star Trek like I like professional wrestling. So yes, I totally get that.
He said that he finally sat down and caught up on this show because he'd only seen the first episode. So he watched the next three right in a row, binged them.
Yep.
And he's right on board with us. He said he loved it. Great supporting cast. Great. And, okay, this episode.
Yeah.
The introduction to Isaac of Practical
Jokes. God. Yes.
They're like, it's something unexpected. So they like put the Mr. Potato Head pieces on him. And he didn't even realize. He's like, so now you've got to get me. Okay. So he cut off his leg.
Cut off his leg.
He just amputated his leg in his sleep. He anesthetized him and amputated his leg. And he's like, gotcha.
Yeah.
And then later on, the poignancy of the leg falling down from the ceiling because he had hidden it. And it just falls down in the middle of a very serious scene. And they just look at it and just keep on going.
Yeah, and then, like, why don't you guys give us a minute? You have to, yes, take the leg with you. Like, I don't know. And then when they're regenerating the leg, but he has to get it back on the deck before it's done. Oh, it's like a little baby leg dangling. I mean, it was just, hilarious. But
So it can have that kind of humor, but yes, not take away, like, my main takeaway from this episode was the seriousness, you know,
yes,
the time traveling and the fact that, you know, they ended up in a wormhole and that they came out of the worm and that the whole purpose was, you know, oh, well, you never lived, you know, you were supposed to die. So this is what we did. You know, I figured I would snatch you away type of thing. It was brilliant. Yep. It's just brilliant.
It's a great story. Like, the story in itself would be a great, like, a movie.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, if the next Star Trek movie was this storyline.
Yep.
And then it ends with, like, the way this show ended, but they stretched out to the movie. So it'd be a lot more action drama. There'd be a lot more, you know, over-the-top explosions, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But I mean, like, the story was that good, it could be a standalone movie. Of, like, you know, a movie where, like, all right, this is what happened. And this, you know, this part of the trilogy, and now we're going to do another movie, and I don't know. It was just, it was good. It was great.
Yep.
It was great. Love it. I only got one other show to talk about.
Really? I've got two.
All right. Go ahead then.
Lethal Weapon?
Oh shit. I have Lethal Weapon to talk about.
I knew it.
Go ahead.
I still love this show. I don't care that they are characters from a movie and that they're borrowing their names and stuff. I look forward to this show every week.
Yep.
And
yeah,
it's just, it's good fun. It's comedy. It's action. It's way over the top. It's ridiculous at times, but I'm okay with it because it's not ridiculous to be ridiculous. You know, it's not farcical.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fun show. I watch it. It's fun. I enjoy it. You know, this was the week where Riggs was not Riggs.
Right. Right.
And that was funny.
Yeah.
They brought in the special investigator who was going to basically overlook the department and see what's going on. And I can't think of the actress's name, but obviously we've seen her in other things.
Law and Order for a while.
Yeah. Exactly. And then the lieutenant was concerned because typically when this happens, it's his position that gets, you know, he's the one that loses his job or gets reassigned or demoted or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they come in and she's told, like, you know, Riggs is a problem, but Riggs is being opposite, where he's not being risky, not going over the top,
not being responsible.
And Murtaugh is the one that's, it's like they've kind of switched roles.
Yep. But Murtaugh's also worked up because he knew her back in the day and they had like a stakeout together and he had this big elaborate story about how like
a lingering finger. And so he immediately switched off on partners because he was married and
yes,
it was just,
yeah. And
it was
he
typical.
Thought that there was something between them and she was like, what are you talking about? There was nothing between us.
Yes.
But of course there was because by the end she's like, hee hee hee. And that was
and she's weird. Sticking around for a while, apparently.
Yep. I was really glad that we brought back Palmer there, the DEA agent.
Yes.
And that we had the ramifications from last season, because she's the one that gave the folder to Riggs, and she knew what was going to happen. And she says that in this episode. She's like, I knew what was going to happen. I knew what you were going to do with it, and I knew what it meant for me. But it's still the fact that she got busted down.
Yep.
But we got to see some fun between, you know, the boys and her, each trying to one-up each other and, you know, get the information first so that they could make the bust.
Yeah, it was a fun episode.
It was. And this was also him thinking that, you know, it might be time to start dating again because he has seen her. And
yes, they were kind of in a relationship.
Yep. And he kind of put his past behind him. But, you know, like the shrink said, she's like, you know, you didn't leave your past behind. You only left a little piece of it. And there's still a lot of it there, and she wanted to talk to him more, but he responds to an armed robbery call at the end of the episode, which was great because it really was.
Yeah.
It was Palmer, and she was like, I've got a gun, and I'm not going to buy these alcohol bottles.
I'm robbing the place, and I am armed.
Yep. And they have their nice makeout session in a dingy alley behind the place while three cops go code, which I don't think that would have happened.
See, okay, you, because of now where you work, where I work, you are getting that, police wouldn't do this.
Yeah, they wouldn't send three units. that close to each other. I mean, when was the last time you knew of three units that were that close to each other at the same time? And right. all going code with lights and sirens to people running out of a liquor store? They would have rolled up without their lights on and been like, all right, do you have a description? Do you have some footage? We'll take a look.
Yeah. There would have been 100,000 questions before their arrival.
Yep.
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 Yep. Yep. That's a fact.
But anyway, it's for comedic purposes or whatever. The sirens are blaring, the lights are flashing, and they drive by, and these two have their nice romantic meeting. And then we see that the preview for the next episode, they're going to have dinner with the Murtaughs, kind of making it an official couple thing.
Yes, they're now a couple. They're together.
Yep, which will be interesting. I like her as a character. I liked her when she was on White Collar, and I like her now.
Yep. I like her as a character as well. I'm glad that she's back. I was actually, until they did the last bit where she stole the beer and they ran off together, I was annoyed. I was like, I hope they don't make her a on-again, off-again character type thing. I feel like I want to see Riggs try to be in a relationship because I think it'll be funny.
Yes.
I think he'll be funny as he tries to be, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. I like it.
Yep.
My final show, and I know this is your final show, The Gifted.
The Gifted.
So,
Fox's foray into superheroes.
Yes. It's not really their first because they did have Legion.
True, but.
Which was a Fox, which is on FX.
That's
but,
true,
you know,
yeah. And I'll give you that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm. Two couple quick questions that maybe you know the answers to, which I can't remember.
Okay.
Okay. Legion, was that official X-Files canon?
X-Men canon?
X-Men canon, sorry. Yes. X-Men canon?
Yes.
Okay, so it was connected to the Fox-owned X-Men cinema, you know, okay.
Even though they never named Charles Xavier, they referenced him enough.
Okay.
That.
Because I didn't finish watching the series. I gave up on it.
Yep.
Now, The Gifted, is that official canon as well?
110%. Because
I thought so. Based on things they said in the episode, it really made me feel like it, but I wanted to ask.
Yep.
Now, I'm a comic book fan. I enjoy comic books. I'm not going to lie. Going into The Gifted, I don't really know any of these characters. They're all the C characters, if you will, I guess. I don't know. So I don't know who these people are. None of them are established to me because I don't read that deep into the comic book universe when it comes to the X-Men side of things.
Okay.
I'm pretty much a surface dweller on the X-Men side of things. And even then, that was kind of when I was a teenager. Nowadays, I'm not really – I don't read them. I don't read that book series.
Yep.
I know enough to be dangerous type of thing or to get by. So when it comes to The Gifted, I'm watching this show as a, all right, I'm pretty sure this is part of their world. I don't know who these people are. I don't know what their powers are. Let's see what happens. Let's see what's established. And I loved it.
I loved it as well.
Brandon,
like, really loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, like the action was great. The character development was great. The story's really, really good. The effects are really good. Like for the mutant powers, like they're really, really good. So I don't know if this is our big budget pilot, so we're going to put everything into it because we had time to film this. But now when it comes to we're filming a new episode every 10 days, it's not going to be as great. Post-production is not going to be as great. We'll see from that episode 2 going forward. But as a standalone episode 1, I love it. When I got done watching the first episode of Inhumans, I was like, oh, God. When I got done watching this first episode, I was like, oh, I wish I had an episode 2 to watch.
I know.
Yeah.
I wish that there was more. Now – getting back to what you were saying earlier, you do know some of these characters because two of them have appeared in Days of Future Past.
Yes,
that would be Thunderbird and Blink.
Right. And I knew.
Yeah, those were more advanced versions of them. Eclipse is a brand new character from what I've read. He was created just for the show. I thought that he was going to be Sunspot, but they just created him as Eclipse. And I think what's interesting about him is like he takes that bullet in the arm and there's like white energy glowing coming out of his skin.
Yes, that shot out of him, yeah.
And they have to wrap him with thermal tape. So obviously it's like a contained nuclear kind of thing is the impression that I'm getting.
Yep.
And then Polaris is actually, in the comics, the estranged daughter of Magneto. And that's where she gets the magnetic powers. She decided to go with a green theme rather than her father's pink and red theme. Not sure why, but they do, like you were saying earlier, they mention the X-Men and the Brotherhood a couple of times.
Yep. And also, the main characters that we meet, the family there, their last name is Strucker.
Yes.
So are they related to Baron von Strucker?
I'm wondering. I'm wondering if that's going to be the tie-in or if it's just that they picked that. It's an uncommon enough name that you really think that they probably had it for a reason.
I feel like it's got to be related somehow, but whatever.
Yeah. So possible that dad is a Hydra legacy.
Or they dropped the Vaughn because they were trying to get out of, you know, they didn't want to be associated.
It could be. Let's also remember, too, that the Strucker and Hydra thing is all kind of over at Marvel right now. So it could be that they can't do that because they don't
have
the rights. So,
but they're going wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
I don't know. I really, 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 really liked it. The next episode's on tonight. So
yes. There was nothing that I could really say bad about this. It was fun. It was great action. Like you said, the powers, seeing some of the powers in other shows and then seeing them here, I'm like, these people got it right.
Yep.
You know, they really did a good job. Even the kids, like I expected the kids to be the annoying sidekick types, and the little brother is a little bit, he gets on my nerves a little bit, but not nearly as much as I expected. And his sister's actually fairly supportive of him, which is good.
Yes, she discovered her powers a long time ago, and she has secretly taken the time to make them, you know, to learn how to use her powers and everything. And she kept them secret because her dad prosecutes.
Right.
Well,
yeah, mutants. And it seems that everybody hates mutants in this world.
Yep.
Which isn't surprising, you know. Again, it's a continuation of.
But instead of being annoyed by her little brother or whatever, you know, when we found out that he had powers, my initial thought was going to be, "Oh, awesome! It's going to be that I hate you, my little brother. You ruined my life," type of thing.
Right.
But instead, we get the, "Oh, she's got mutants. She's a mutant as well. Sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, she's really caring and supportive. Awesome. Like, I'm glad we don't have to deal with that bullshit story going forward. It made it more enjoyable for me, you know?"
Exactly.
Yeah, I really like this. If you haven't watched it, you should watch it. I know, like, I had asked, like, Aaron and a couple other guys about it, and Aaron was basically like, he loves all these characters. Not like he likes Lethal Weapon or whatever, but he was like, I'm not going to watch it.
That's too bad, because this
and
is
then,
a great
well,
show.
But then I said, he goes, well, let me put it this way. He goes, I asked, like, hey, anyone watching this? And he goes, that's a new X-Men show that's not X-Men, right? And I go, yeah, but the show is really good. And he goes, well, I have no plans on watching it. And I told him, like, you know what? I was generally surprised how good of a TV show it was. It was a good story. You know, the special effects looked really good. I really, really got into it. You definitely should check it out. And he's like, well, that's some kind of high praise, so I guess I will watch it. So he is going to give it a go. So I'll be interested to see what he has to say once he lets me know he's watched the first episode.
Good.
But based on the fact that, like he said, it's an X-Men show that's not about the X-Men, right? Nah, I have no plans. So there's a lot of people that probably feel the same way.
But it's good. It's definitely good about superheroes. It's got drama. It's got action. It's great.
I think it's going to be officially – I think – I don't see them integrating it into the movies by any means. But it's just going to – they're going to acknowledge that they're in that universe and that, like they said, when they talked about the X-Men, they talked about the Brotherhood. I feel like that's going to be the extent of what we're going to get on it, and it's just going to be like its own story, which is what I'm hoping for based on the first episode. So,
right.
I don't know. I'm excited to watch episode 2. I really hope I don't get disappointed.
Same here. Yeah. I hope that it wasn't like, oh, they blew their load on the first episode and now everything else is going to be like slow and gritty and annoying.
Yeah. So, that's it for me for shows this week. Did you watch any movies?
Technically, I went and saw Kingsman again. And it was just as good the second time. So, yeah.
Nice.
My sale from the first one says yes. Go back. Go watch it. Other than that, no. You?
I watched Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 2, the original sequel, not the new sequel. It's just a fun movie. I don't really need to talk about it a lot because if you haven't seen it, then you're probably not going to watch it. But it's on Hulu if you want to. But that's about it for me for movies this week.
Speaking of Hulu, I saw that Colossal is on Hulu all of a sudden.
Yes.
I'm going to be checking that out because I really want to see that.
Yeah, I do want to watch that myself. And we still need to get together and watch that that Russian show movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we got to try and find time to watch that together. So, I just have a couple more things I want to talk about. The new X-Files trailer came out for the new season coming out next year, 2018.
What do you think about that?
I love it. It looks awesome. It looks awesome.
They're finally going to, again, they left us on a stupid cliffhanger.
They are definitely addressing the full-on dick move cliffhanger straight away at the beginning.
Like, hopefully not doing it again in this next season.
I hope so, too. It's going to be more episodes. First season was only 6. This is, I think, 10. But, yeah, cigarette-smoking man is in the trailer. We see... We see Skinner in the trailer. We see a young cigarette-smoking man, so I'm sure that's going to be one of the flashback stories, and there's an alien standing behind him while he's lighting up. We see one of the lone gunmen in the episode and on a cell phone, like FaceTime thing that's fuzzing out. I mean, we see so much. It looks so great. I'm very, very excited.
Yeah, they really – a lot of it was very fan servicey.
Yes. Oh, yeah, big time. So.
And that's exciting.
You got any trailers?
Yeah, I watched the trailer for Sci-Fi's new series, Happy, that I'm very excited about.
Yes, that does look great with the exclamation point.
Yes, they finally dropped the full trailer, and I'm stoked for this. You know, Elliot Stabler, that's how I will always know him, but he's from Maloney, you know, was the greatest detective, and then he got shot. He thought he couldn't die, and then he got shot, and he's like, oh, I finally died, but then he gets brought back to life, and now he can see an imaginary horse. That is the imaginary friend of this little girl who apparently was kidnapped by a lunatic Santa.
Yeah, it looks interesting. I'll just say that.
Yeah, he puts her in a box and drills holes, and now they've got to go rescue her. I can't wait for this. I saw another trailer for Philip K. Dick's Electric Dreams.
Huh, what's that?
It's an anthology. Now, Philip K. Dick, of course, was Blade Runner.
Yeah.
And Electric Dreams refers to the line in there about, you know, do androids dream of electric sheep? I think that's what it was. So it's an anthology show. It's coming on Amazon. Looks interesting, as anthology shows can look interesting in their trailers, but I don't know. And this coming Friday, there's a new movie coming out on Netflix that was done by Mick G, who I hadn't heard from him in quite a while.
Oh, yes.
The Babysitter.
Yes, I already added that to my queue.
Yep, that looks good.
At least that looks really, really good. Yes,
teenagers absolutely. Doing human sacrifice and yeah, just looks badass. I'm very much looking forward to that.
Nice.
Yep.
We got a few news items.
Yep.
One, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be premiering Friday, December 1st, with a 2-hour episode. So, are they moving S.H.I.E.L.D. to Friday?
Yes, they are.
Oof, that's the Death Knell time slot, practically.
It really is. Yeah. Yep. Rude and I were talking about that last night.
Yeah. Ash vs. Evil Dead, Season 3, premieres February 25th, 2018.
Yeah. Did you see any of that live thing that I linked to you the other day?
I unfortunately did not. I got the link, but no, I didn't get a chance to watch it.
It was great. They were talking about how we're going to meet Ash's daughter, and they just... Bruce Campbell was basically ripping on Steven Spielberg at one point for going back and digitally remastering the Star Wars movies. And he's like, you know, go back and look at the old Evil Dead stuff. It was garbage, but we did it great. We loved this stuff. And, you know, we don't go back and say, oh, we've got new technology. We can put in better special effects. Nope. We stand by what we did. And he should have done the same thing. I'm like, yeah, go Bruce.
You mean George Lucas?
George Lucas, yes.
Yeah. Like, you threw me for a loop there.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, no, I kind of wish I would have watched it, but.
It was cool.
HBO has ordered a pilot for a Watchmen TV series.
I had heard about that.
And Damon Lindelof is attached.
I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Yeah, I'm Yeah.
Watchmen was kind of a self-contained story.
It really was.
I know that DC's got a whole thing going on with them right now in the comics.
Yep.
But I feel like it was kind of a self-contained thing.
And then last but not least, the Doctor Who Christmas special will be airing in theaters here in the United States on December 27th.
Yep.
With special features including behind-the-scenes look at the making of the episode and a retrospective of Peter Capaldi and Stephen Moffat because they're both leaving.
Yeah, that's sad.
But I don't know, we'll meet the new Doctor
yep.
in action, it seems like, and we'll get to see, I don't know, Doctor
well,
Who.
Well, spinning right on that, one of my news yes. items, BBC has announced that this year they're doing some changes to the show because okay. the new showrunner, Chris Chibnall. Now, he's called for a redesigned TARDIS control room, redesigned sonic screwdriver. Not surprising, you know, Moffat did the same thing when he took over. But also, this year, when they do the next season is only going to be 10 episodes rather than 12 or 13 like usual.
Yep.
But each one of them is going to be a full hour instead of 45 minutes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's only an extra 15 minutes, but it's more like a Sherlock kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I could definitely get behind that.
Cool.
I'm excited.
Yeah, that's good to know.
And apparently, we're closing in on Rush Hour 4.
Yeah, well, it's up to Chris Tucker, which I can't imagine he's going to refuse that because it's not like he's doing anything else.
Yeah, I saw the comment. They were like, it's all going to come down to being able to make the time for it. I'm like, to make the time for what? He doesn't have anything going on.
Yeah, I also saw that a new Shanghai Noon movie is in pre-production as well. That might be happening. I can't think of it. It's Shanghai something. And
we have Shanghai Noon, Shanghai Nights.
Yeah.
It's going to be like
I can't remember
Shanghai
what it was now.
Dawn or something.
I think, I don't know, Shanghai Express. I don't know. But, you know, Jackie Chan, this coming Friday the 13th, The Prisoner comes out, and it looks awesome. Like, I'm very excited about it. And if you want to watch some more Jackie Chan, there's two movies on Netflix. One is the Railroad Tigers that I wasn't a big fan of that I watched, but it has Jackie Chan, so I watched it. And the other one is Kung Fu Yoga, I think. Is what it's called. They just added that one on there again, and Jackie Chan's in it. So I'm going to watch it because I love Jackie Chan, but I don't have a lot of faith behind it. But The Prisoner looks phenomenal.
And that's actually getting a theatrical release.
Yes, that's getting a theatrical. Well, the other ones did in Hong Kong, in China and whatnot. We just didn't get a theatrical release of those movies here. But this is a USA movie with Pierce Brosnan and Jackie Chan, and it looks great.
Gotcha.
He wants to know who killed his daughter, and yeah, it looks good. It looks good.
So, nice.
Yeah. Anyhow, that's it for me. You got anything else?
It was very interesting. They just announced, I haven't been watching the new DuckTales reboot.
Yeah.
I've heard that it's good. I've heard a lot of good stuff about it. I just haven't really found the time to watch it. But I heard that they just cast their Magicka Dispel.
Yes.
And it will be Catherine Tate.
That doesn't surprise me. The cast on that show is uncannily great.
Yep. And it's going to be interesting to see her going up against David Tennant.
Oh,
as
yes.
Scrooge
absolutely.
McDuck. So I like that. Yep. That's all I got, though.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for listening this week, I reckon. You can find us on the Twitterverse. I'm at SuperstarMel.
I'm at the Quantum Geek, G33K.
The show is at What Did You Watch? And our Facebook page, What Did You Watch This Week? Go give it a like and follow. And, yeah, thanks.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.